welcome to the AVOD. I'm Camp Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And oh boy, did we watch some movies tonight?
Tonight?
Well, I watched them both tonight.
You mean earlier today?
I guess I mean earlier today. The sun goes down early here is going to be my defense. But anyway, that's right. It's part of our Halloween Spooktacular. We actually watched a Halloween-themed movie, which is... I think we're going to get to first, because God.
Get it out of the way.
Before we get there, we do have some random crap to address. So first off, I want to recommend a video game, as I often do. This one is called The Beast Inside. And it's a game where you play as... it will take place in two time periods. You're playing as a guy who, at the end of the Civil War, so like 1864, you have a guy who comes home from spending a long time away, and he is haunted by weird things in his family home. And at the same time, you play in between levels as the people who are currently living in that home in 1979. And it's weird, it's very messed up, lots of great imagery, lots of great scare scenes. And it's incredibly interesting because I can't spoil what makes it so great, but suffice to say that there is a really weird gameplay mechanic and there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, is this the worst written thing I've played in ages? And the answer is no. It's all important to figuring out what the plot is, but I can't tell you why everything makes sense without spoiling the plot. So instead, I'm just going to say, if you play the game, please understand that all the stuff that seems really stupid at first is going to make perfect sense by the end of the game.
Okay, good to know.
I'll tell you about it later, because you're never going to play the thing.
Nope.
But, no, it was very impressive. It's called The Beast Inside. It's a budget-priced title, and it is available on PC right now.
Cool.
All right. Next up, I just want to give a recommendation to the podcast. You Must Remember This, the Hollywood-themed podcast. I have talked about this before. I finally got around to the part where they talk about Charles Manson's Hollywood, that like 12-episode miniseries they do, and it is just, it's as good as everyone said it was. I'm blown away. I know they went to do true crime in order to like increase the viability of the podcast, but it really fits in well with their theme of old Hollywood and how shockingly intertwined Charles Manson was with Hollywood in the lead up to the murder. So I think they did a fantastic job, and the whole podcast's good, but it really is spectacularly good, the Charles Manson's Hollywood section. So check out You Must Remember This. And they also, normally I don't listen to the podcast episodes that are just people talking about why they're doing the podcast. I generally don't care that much.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman who does this, I'm not going to tell the story here because it's got such a great twist in it, but in the bonus letters why I'm doing the podcast episode, she tells a story about George Lucas's first wife that is one of the best things I've heard, and I'm not going to tell you why, but don't skip the letters episode if you listen to the podcast. I used to do that. I sometimes still do that. But absolutely don't skip the letters podcast. It's an amazing story.
Okay.
All right. Next up, I believe you watched a movie?
I did.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I have never seen Police Academy.
Oh, wow.
Like the first one. I've seen others.
Oh, okay. You've seen other ones. Good.
Yeah. Of course, I've seen a Police Academy movie.
How would I know? But I hadn't
seen the first one.
Okay.
So I sat down to watch it, and it's terrible.
It's not a very good movie, no.
It is bad. There is no story.
No, it's just a series of incidents.
It's just a bunch of scenes at Police Academy.
No, it is like a sketch film that pretends to have a narrative.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's not a good movie at all.
Which is partly the reason why I haven't finished it.
It's weird, like, the stuff that used to be acceptable in the past.
Well, I don't understand how a huge franchise grew out of this awful movie.
Well, you know, I mean, because it was slightly risque comedy that you couldn't see on television, and I think that's literally all that went into it. Like, it was this, you know, playfully slightly sleazy, risque comedy that you could still pretty much take anybody to, like, almost anybody can go and see. And so it just got attention that way. But you're right. I mean, it's not good. It's not Ghostbusters. It's not a legitimately good thing. But at the time, there just wasn't that much you could go and see. And it
I don't think that's true. There were plenty of movies around. There have been movies around for so long. There were movies back then. I don't understand how this sparked a franchise, because it is bad. It's a bad movie.
You're right. It is absolutely bad.
And I think it was bad in the day. That's not me sitting in 2019.
No, it's not. And I mean, if you read reviews,
throwing shade, this is
not alone in this. Go and read reviews of it from the time. No one ever liked these movies. I mean, I remember that it's like, I don't know if it was Roger, Siskel and Ebert who talked about it, but one review famously talked about how insane is it that it's like, you're making a parody film about a kind of film that doesn't exist. I've never seen a story about people at Police Academy, and you're acting like this is a well-known thing that you can parody. So No, people at the time knew it was trash, but it was just like the movie everybody saw. And I would be very interested to see what it was up against in theaters, because it literally could be that it was that first year the only thing, like the only comedy out around that time. So just people went because it was out. Because again, you didn't have a lot of other entertainment options in 1982. And then after that, once the first one was successful, it just, you know, success breeds success. And that was it. I would not shock me if that was the story.
I doubt that was. That's, in fact, what happened. I think people just thought, well, these guys are willing to make another movie. It'll be real cheap. But they spend a little bit more time on the script going forward.
Well,
I mean, we've all seen Citizens on Patrol. People don't like it, but at least it's telling a story.
Well, no, every single one of the subsequent films does tell a story. Like in the second one, which is their first assignment, it is a story about them actually doing police work. The third one is they try to save the Academy School. Citizens on Patrol, again, had a real story. Like after the first one, it's not just a series of sketches. They are stories.
They're not sketches. They're just scenes. Scenes from Police Academy. That's a movie. At least you know what you're getting into. But
it's true. But it doesn't build to anything. There's no development. There's no real plot. It's trash. You're absolutely right. But no, all of the subsequent ones were actually movies in the way the first one was not.
Yeah. No, I've seen other ones. As I said, I just hadn't seen the first. So I thought, well, let's see where it all began. And it began nowhere.
Complete trash. It began with complete trash. All right. Next up, we have a list.
A list. Yes. Ooh. So today's list is top 10 medical horror films.
Obviously, number one is Dead Ringers. Oh, wait. You told me this wasn't enumerated. Damn it. Sorry.
No, the other one wasn't enumerated.
Oh, this one is enumerated.
This one isn't. Wait, is it? No, it's not.
Well, I'm just saying the best medical horror movie ever is Dead Ringers. There's other really great medical horror movies, but the best one ever is Dead Ringers. If you haven't seen Dead Ringers, see Dead Ringers.
Okay, list you want to guess what's on the list? It's from 2013.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say Excision, whatever that one was called, but that wasn't out yet in 2013, was it? Well, obviously, this is tough. The Exorcist is totally a medical horror movie, so I'd put The Exorcist on there.
How is The Exorcist a medical? Because she goes to the hospital?
No, but all of the scenes in the hospital are like treated like nightmare scenarios.
Yeah, but it's not a medical horror movie.
Okay, you make a strong point. All right. No, I only got one name that has to be on this list, and that's Dead Ringers, which is fantastic.
Okay.
Or The Exorcist 2, The Heretic, which is a medical horror movie. To be fair, Exorcist 2 is a medical horror movie. All right, go.
All right, we begin with Session 9.
Oh, that's not a medical horror movie at all. Well, it's set in asylum. Next medical horror movie. That terrible movie we watched about the people who are tearing down an old church asylum, and then one of them is possessed.
What?
It's a movie we covered on the show. It was directed by the guy whose name I always forget who made the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's okay. I mean, it wasn't an important thing we talked a lot about on the show. It is a movie we covered, though. All right, keep going.
All right, next is Kyofu.
I'm not familiar with Kyofu.
also known as the Sylvian Experiments. I've heard of this. It's J-horror.
Well, I figured based on the title, but no, I haven't heard of this at all. The Sylvian Experiments.
Yeah, I have heard of this. I haven't seen it, but I'd be willing to watch it.
Okay. Does the description make it sound good?
It says here, the film follows a rogue scientist who kidnaps victims to experiment on their brains to trigger hallucinations of the afterlife.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, so like Martyrs, but, you know, with a medical context instead of a cult context. That's what they were trying to do in Martyrs.
I haven't seen Martyrs. Thanks for ruining it.
You find out right away. Don't worry. It's not a mystery what they're up to in Martyrs.
Next up, American Mary.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Why wasn't I thinking of American Mary?
I was really prepared to hate this movie, and I liked it a lot.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I really like this movie. Yeah.
No, Saskas know what they're doing. Really fun movie. And I would recommend American. Oh, do you have a strong stomach? If you don't have a strong stomach, don't watch American Mary. But it's a really good movie.
Yeah, it is. Okay, next is Infection.
Oh, which one? I feel like I know this. Which one is that?
This is another J-horror.
Okay, then maybe not.
A gruesome warning against hospital budget cuts.
Oh, God. So people don't keep enough infection and then everybody turns into zombies?
Doctors at Tokyo Hospital are forced to turn away a patient due to cuts, only to find that their unit becomes infected with a mysterious disease.
Oh. It turns out that...
it's not zombies.
No, I was just going to say, it turns out that person was an evil gypsy and cursed them. That's definitely not the plot, and I shouldn't say gypsy. All right, I take it back. I apologize.
All right, next is Patrick from 78.
Oh, we watched the remake of this.
We did.
Yeah, I remember being okay with it.
Yeah, we were okay with it.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
And I've never seen the original, so I can't speak to this. But I do see why it would get on a list of medical horror if it's anything like the remake.
Okay, next is one of my favorites, Flatliners.
Oh, Flatliners.
Great movie.
We should probably watch that Flatliners remake that came out and no one noticed it came out, right?
The remake nobody asked for.
And no one noticed.
I don't want to, because no. I like Flatliners. Why am I going to waste my time?
Well, we watched the Thing remake.
I didn't.
I swear we did. But
I have not seen it. One. I guarantee you I haven't seen it.
I'm just going to believe you on this one.
Well, you should.
No,
I know what I haven't seen, and I haven't seen the Thing remake.
But before you've claimed to have never seen a movie that we've covered for...
I have not seen Mama.
I love that she's still saying this, despite the fact that you can actually right now go and listen to her talk about the movie Mama for 20 minutes.
Seen it.
Just go listen to it.
I don't care what's on the tape. I have not seen that
movie.
There
we go. There's the real truth. I don't even believe my own ears. You hired a sound alike, damn it. And I know that's what you did. All right. Next up.
Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, yeah, of course. God, I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's absolutely medical horror. Yeah, and a really good movie.
Yeah, I have nothing to say on the topic of Jacob's Ladder.
I really like Jacob's Ladder. All right, go.
Okay, here's a movie I have never heard of before. Shock Corridor.
Oh, I've heard of Shock Corridor. Isn't that is that the follow-up from the Rocky Horror guy?
I don't know.
Is that like his next film? Oh, no, I'm thinking of something else. But anyway, no, I've heard of Shock Corridor. Never seen it, but I am familiar with that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
After that, we have Lunacy.
That means nothing to me.
I have no idea what this is.
Okay, what's the description?
It is Scandinavian,
ooh.
I'm guessing, from the person. I'm not going to try to pronounce this person's name.
Always smart.
It's okay, so surrealist filmmaker Jan describes his 2005 film as a philosophical horror. More concerned with interrogating notions of freedom and opposition, then jump out of your seat fright. Interrogating. Loosely based on two Edgar Allan Poe stories, a young troubled lad is carted off to a madhouse where the inmates run the show.
Ooh.
And a man claiming to be the Marquis de Sade presides over the fun. A lot of these are set in asylums.
Yeah, that it almost feels like asylums should be a different thing than
medical it's like horror. Asylum horror. Because you say it's medical horror, I'm thinking like
doctors, horrific surgery, medical experiments gone awry. That movie where, well, as you said, Flatliners. Flatliners is a perfect example.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, asylum horror, you're right, should be its own completely its own different thing. Subcategory.
That's more psychological.
Yeah.
Not to suggest that psychology isn't
science or medicine. No, of course.
Medical science or medicine, but still.
It is, but we're talking about what is the aesthetic of the film that you're suggesting by using the term medical horror.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you on this one.
So this brings me to the last one on the list, which is obviously Reanimator.
Oh, now that's medical horror. Reanimator actually gets a shout out in the video game. It's full of references to other horror things. Like, you know, the house has the carpeting from The Shining, stuff like that. But in there, like, you find a doctor's business card and it's Herbert West.
That's fun.
That makes me really happy. But yeah. Reanimator's perfect. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing about Reanimator. From beginning to end, I just adore that movie and would recommend anyone, if you haven't seen it, see it. If you have seen it, go watch it again. It's beautiful.
What I want to see going forward, like, I'm happy for people to reference or homage Reanimator in any way they feel like doing, but I'm not seeing enough references to Cat Dead Details Later.
I know, right?
My liking. Honestly.
The best
like,
line in the history of fiction? Cat Dead Details Later?
Just, I want to see that, just like in the background, on the fridge.
Yeah,
just a note.
Just pinned to the board. Cat Dead.
Details
comma,
later.
Details later. Obviously. That should be in every fridge in every film.
Yes.
In the same way that the Wintergreen ad used to be on the back of every fake magazine on every TV show, Cat Dead Details Later should be pinned to every fridge on every TV show. All right. So medical horror, it seems like it isn't a robust enough genre that they were, again, Dead Ringers wasn't even on there, that they were able to come up with a very good list addressing the issue. I wonder, are they still making medical horror movies?
Well, I wouldn't know because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Crepitus.
Oh, Crepitus. Crepitus? It's Crepitus.
Crepitus.
It's Crepitus.
Crepitus. You've heard of this.
No, it's just a term that is pre-existing for something else. And I know because it was used as the name of a series of a horrible monster in a video game one time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, ready for the synopsis? Okay, this is about, in the story, a teenage girl and her young sister escape their trauma-filled home. Mm-hmm. At their grandfather's place, Elizabeth and Sam learn about their history and the ghosts that haunt their family. But something even more sinister lurks below. Crepitus. Crepitus always speaks a warning before eating his latest. Your kid is a burden. Your kid is a pest. Your kid I will kill and consume like the rest.
Oh,
now,
God.
Elizabeth and Sam will have to stand up to this murderous clown if they hope to survive the secrets that live in the darkness.
It's a clown? Oh my God.
Okay, I just want to... The way this is written, trauma-filled is not hyphenated. It should be. But the word stand-up is.
No!
So, Alyssa and Sam will have to stand up to this murderous clown.
Oh my God, are you telling me there will actually be a hole you have to make an evil clown laugh in order to defeat it?
I don't know.
Because that's just the only thing I can interpret from stand-up.
Well, I should have read it like that because that's how it's written, but
yes,
I just want to say that whoever wrote this,
get a copy editor.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive.
I'll do it.
You'll do it at cost.
So this comes out in December for some reason.
Is it VOD? Is it a real movie with real people or is it VOD?
It's VOD. VOD is real.
I know, and Nicolas Cage only does VOD movies. I know, but you know what I'm saying.
It is VOD. It's not Nicolas Cage.
Damn it. Why hasn't he played an evil clown yet? Get on it, Nick.
The directorial feature film directorial debut of a guy named Haynes Whitmore.
Awesome name. What is he like? You say feature film. Has he done television? Has he done theater?
Anything about this person. All I can tell you, it had its world premiere in 2018 at the Spooky Empire Film Festival, where it won Best Feature.
Nice! Way to go, Haynes. All right, I'm more excited about this now.
So
Crepitus, something for us to keep an eye on. I'm a little sad that he didn't make Halloween, but maybe somebody could turn Christmas into creepy clown season?
So what was the Crepitus in your video game?
Obviously horrible underground monsters. Underground insect monsters that like burrowed up and ate people at night.
So is Crepitus like a real word that really exists?
It is definitely a real word, yes. Okay. I just have to go and look up what it means, which I've never done.
I like Crepitus or Crepitus.
Those are both perfectly acceptable pronunciations as far as I know. I'm just telling you how it was said in the one game where it was said. All right. No, honestly, now I'm kind of excited because you know how I feel about evil clowns generally.
Yeah.
Except for the star of our first motion picture tonight. Boom! Solid!
Well done, you.
Thank you.
You were due.
It's been a lot of weeks of bad segues. You're right. It's been a lot of weeks. All right, go.
All right. Tonight's first movie is All Hallows Eve. In this Halloween anthology, a kid gets a video cassette in his candy bag, which turns out to be three trashy movies about trash.
If only he had been using a garbage bag. At least it would have been appropriate. Oh.
So, our friend All Points Bulletin talks about this movie a lot.
I know.
And it is the, well, prequel isn't the right word.
No, because they recycle some stuff from this.
The film that brought us Art the Clown, or the introduced us to Art the Clown and Lay the Ground to Terrifier, which we did not like.
I would say hated, but, you know, I'm more emotional about Terrifier than you are.
I don't think it merits that much effort.
That's true. You dismissed it entirely, and I thought it was contemptible trash. This film rolls more into the contemptible trash side of the thing, Ledger. And I can tell you that I have rarely felt more disappointment than I did in the second film in this anthology. And I'll tell you
what. Okay.
So I watched the first film of the anthology. Right. And I'm like, so Art the Clown shows up and he kidnaps a lady and turns over to be raped by the devil. Thanks.
No, he doesn't kidnap a lady. He injects her with some kind of weird drug and then she gets raped by the devil.
Yeah, but still. But the point is, that's what happens.
I want to be very clear about his role.
Right. I was not being really clear about his role. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I see he's the clown and he shows up and then he, you know, turns women over to be tortured, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's his thing. So I'm like, at least the Art the Clown segment is over. And so I get 1 minute into the second segment, which is about a lady alone in the woods. And she says that her husband...
She's alone in a house in the woods. You got your...
You're right.
Come
She's
on.
Alone in a house in the woods. You're absolutely right. She's not just like standing in the woods. She's in a cabin in the woods and she's talking on the phone with her
friend. She's in a house. She lives there. They live in the countryside.
No, they're just moving to the countryside. But anyway, and he's not out there yet. And so they're still moving in. And, like, literally, I'm like, okay, well, at least the Art the Clown part of this thing is over. I can see what they've got next. And so then she says, I don't even like having, like, this painting in the house. My husband says he doesn't remember painting it. He just had a nightmare. He woke up and then the painting was there. I don't like looking at it. And then I'm like, oh, Christ, this whole thing's about Art the Clown.
Well, it's not, though, because in that segment...
There's actually an alien. Yeah.
She's chased by an alien.
Yes.
And then at the end, like, we all know it's a painting of Art the Clown that's under that sheet that she doesn't like to look at. Don't blame her. But she gets chased by an alien.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the vignette, she pulls the sheet off the painting and it's just a picture. It's a face. It's Art the Clown. And that's the end of the story.
The end of the segment.
Not like, sure what that was.
Oh, that was worth doing. Oh, so this was all built up to just a picture of Art the Clown?
That was
well,
it.
Thanks.
Thanks. For nothing.
For this complete lack of a payoff. And then you get the third one, which is basically roughly what they turned into Terrifier.
Yes.
And we already hated Terrifier, and this is somehow worse.
Well, I don't know if it's worse, because Terrifier is really long.
That's true. You're right.
This part is only 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or so. It's got that going for it.
It's true. Yeah. It is definitely shorter. But in a way, it's interesting because it's like, I mean, you can listen to our Terrifier episode if you want to hear us talk about Terrifier. I forbid us to talk about Terrifier too much now because, but one of the things I noticed was an unusual hatefulness towards women in the film Terrifier.
Uh-huh.
Like, more so than you get out of your average horror film. It seemed to hate women so much more. And I'm just going to spoil all of this movie, because I don't care, and I hate this movie. So you're like, okay, so he's kidnapped, he's kidnapped this woman, and she's gone through an ordeal, and she's finally been captured by Art the Clown, which he does easily, because, you know, the entire all of reality bends so that this clown can brutally murder women. Like, that's just what the reality of this world exists to do is allow a clown to torture and murder women. That's all it's for. And so we get this scene where he's captured her and you're like, what has he done to her? And I'm like, so literally these guys got high and had a brainstorming session about what the worst thing you could do to someone was. And they're like, hey, remember that movie Boxing Helena about how society objectifies women and treats like turns things to objects?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, well, what if in addition to him doing that, we the filmmakers also treat the women as objects by never giving them any character or getting into them at all and like only treat them as things to be tortured? And also, just to make sure it's really clear how we feel, we also show her fully naked and carve hateful anti-woman words all over her body.
What's left of it.
Yeah, what's left of her body.
Mm-hmm.
And we show her fully naked, all of her limbs severed, hateful slurs carved all over her body. Someone watched this and said, you should make a feature-length version of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just blame the filmmaker. I blame the filmmaker and whoever worked with him on this film. Obviously, you're all terrible people who don't deserve anything good in your lives. But
let's not blame the actors. They got paid.
Oh, you're right. No. The actors' job is a job. And you're right. I forgive all of the production staff. A job is a job is a job. Mm-hmm. The writer, director, producer. No, you're terrible human beings.
Oh yeah, they're on the hook for this one for sure.
But who is it that at where was it? Bloody Disgusting or whatever, watched this short and said, yes, I want to see 80 minutes of that. Who got to that ending and is like, I need more 55 minutes of what I just watched. How?
Aww.
Oh, also, seriously, worst babysitter in the world.
So, okay, here's the thing. I don't understand when this movie is set, or like when any of this is supposed to be set.
It's set in the present day, but everyone has VCRs hooked up for some reason.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I have a VCR, but I'm a weirdo.
I know.
I don't understand why this family has a VCR.
Because when he originally wrote the movie, VCRs were still a thing.
And then in the last segment, the girl that he's chasing has a razor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what year is this?
I know, right?
I mean, don't get me wrong. The razor was awesome. I had one and I loved it.
It's possible that section of the film was actually filmed a bunch earlier?
I don't know. Or maybe they just needed to give her a flip phone so that she couldn't just Google Maps her way out of that place.
Maybe that's what it was.
All right, she didn't have Waze.
2013, so. She didn't have a smartphone yet. She's poor. I guess I can kind of accept that. I mean, I know people who still have flip phones, although they're all very old. So.
But even when she got, like, she got the directions, the guy wrote down directions for her, how to get back onto the highway, and then she drives around like an idiot. It's like, just follow the fucking directions and get the hell out of there.
It's true. Well, but you gotta remember, all of reality has broken down so she can be brutally murdered.
Right? And why are you investigating weird noises? He filled up your car. Just go.
Gave you directions. Just frigging go.
Yeah. Like, you know, not to victim blame, but it's her own damn fault.
Just go.
She's stuck in this situation.
Well, one of the things I found, it's just so weird, because it's like, you let the kids watch this movie, and you get to a point in the movie where, like...
Oh, she lets them watch the entire devil rape movie, and it's like, I would have shut this off maybe
way
5
earlier.
Minutes after it started. Like, this is not appropriate for children, and you're all just sitting there.
But even if you get into the point, even if you get to the point where she's being kidnapped and dragged around by demons, then you get a point to where a guy walks up to a pregnant lady brandishing a knife.
Yeah.
And she doesn't turn off the television.
Right?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Who on earth leaves it running when you get to that point? And the thing is, we, the audience, can see that later when she turns it back on because she's self-destructive, right? But no way does this character let the kids continue watching it once it's clear what's going to happen. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like, she
And
was...
why does she continue to watch? Like, I don't know. Sure there are plenty of other movies lying around that you can watch.
It's not particularly well produced. You know, it's like, it's just unpleasant gore. It's Halloween night. Turn it to literally any channel and you can see a better horror movie.
Well, they were watching Night of the Living Dead before this videotape showed up. So
go
back to that.
Just go back to Night of the Living
Dead. It's playing on a loop. Like,
it's Halloween. The film is free to air. It is definitely playing on a loop. Fun fact, it's free to air.
Yes, it is, which is why it's always in these movies.
It's true. People do love clips of it.
So
here's
a funny story.
Halloween actually did pay for, while they did that, Halloween also paid for The Thing from Another World.
Aw, how nice.
I know, it's really great. All right,
okay,
go.
So on Twitter, somebody, I think it was Twitter, asked this question about why in the movie Halloween, they're going to carve jack-o'-lanterns after trick-or-treating.
Yeah, then that happens in this.
And
I was
that happens
so
in this movie. And it was so funny because, like, I just
you
watched
just
this movie. And then I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, huh, yeah.
It is weird.
It is. It's a weird thing to do. You carve a jack-o'-lantern, like, you
before.
Know, lead up to Halloween.
Although maybe it's just, I mean, I don't know. I've never babysitted. Babysat?
But that also happens in Trick or Treat. They carve, like, their tradition is to carve the jack-o'-lantern on Halloween night.
Yeah, but in Trick or Treat, it's a severed head.
But it's also a severed head, so...
Yeah, so it's not really...
Yeah.
...super relevant to our conversation on the
it's
subject.
It's not.
No, but it's like, maybe
it's like you're gonna
something
carve a
babysitters do.
And then you're
going
to go to bed. It's like, no, that's a terrible idea.
Maybe
you're going to stay...
Something...
Parents are coming home at midnight, kids stay up till 11:30. That's the deal you make, everybody agrees, and we're good. Doesn't take a chance to figure this shit out.
That's for real babysitter. I know, I was just going to say, maybe it's like a thing that babysitters do to tucker kids out after they're amped up from all the trick-or-treating? Does that make sense?
Well, you're going to let a kid hyped up on sugar wield a knife?
Okay, you make a really strong point there. oh, and then at the end of the movie, the kids all get killed. But we don't care.
Okay, so like, credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
The film did have some good things going on with the whole babysitter story and that, like, you need to watch this entire video so Art the Clown, I guess, can enter your world. And so there are little scenes where, like, something disappears around a corner or the kid is, like, stop skulking around outside our bedroom door. That's, you know, that's really creepy. And she's like, that's not me. So, like, that was good stuff.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And the gore effects, however distasteful, were well done.
Absolutely.
But this is a bit of a garbage movie.
No, no, but it's a film that is pure trash that exists only to show off its gore. You know, that's all it is.
It's, but I don't have, you have an aversion to gore, and I don't.
I don't always have an aversion to gore, though. I really don't. It's about what purpose is the gore serving? Why is it in there? And if something exists only to, you know, cruelly inflict super gory deaths on people, I start to object to it. And I, you know, I in no way apologize for that.
Yeah, I don't have as much of a problem with that as you do. But the whole women hating thing is like,
it's disturbing.
It's just unnecessary.
Oh, completely. Completely unnecessary. Very disturbing.
Yeah.
Didn't like that part at all. And it is so,
I think it's lazy.
Oh, it is lazy.
It's
agree with
that.
It's
very lazy.
But it's the core of this character and this film's ethos. Yeah.
Which is why I can't get mad at it. It's you're like,
Because it's so lazy.
Like, if you really felt this way, if this film was made by a true misogynist, then I'd be upset. But these people are just lazy. And I can't it's not
right.
worth my time to get mad at you because you're too fucking lazy to put in just the tiniest bit of effort into your character's motivations. Like,
I truly do hope you're right that it is just laziness and not actual hatefulness.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if I believe it, but I hope that you were right and I'm wrong.
I don't know which is more insulting to the filmmaker. So it's still here. You're lazy. You're incompetent. You hate women. What's going
monster.
On?
What is your deal? All right, let's move on to our second movie of the evening.
Okay, so our second movie tonight, which has nothing to do with the one we just talked about, is Eli.
Ooh.
When parents bring their sick kid to a private clinic, they're promised a cure for his weird disease. But the kid begins to suspect there's more going on than just medical experimentation.
All right, so when did you know what was going on? Immediately or sooner?
I had no idea what was
You had
going.
No idea?
No.
Oh,
I was
damn.
Surprised.
Do you
and
want
I liked
me to...
it.
Oh, no, it's a fun movie. I'm not
like,
going to criticize.
I knew, okay, so we're going to ruin this movie. I like Eli. I'm going to recommend it to people.
Eli is a lot of fun. If you want just a good, creepy medical horror movie, that's why we did that list, go to Netflix, check out Eli right now, and then come back and we'll talk about it and you can hear us discuss it. But we can't really talk about this movie without getting into spoilers.
Yeah.
Except to just talk about the cinematography is really good. The acting is really good. It has Lily Taylor, who's always wonderful. Like, there's plenty of great reasons to watch and really enjoy this movie. But now we're going to get into the spoilery stuff. But consider this an official The AVOD recommendation.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so I knew that the ghosts were there to were trying to help him, not hurt him.
Yeah.
That much is obvious because I've seen a movie before.
I know.
But the whole, like, he's the devil thing? No. Something was up. I knew something was up for sure because it's weird. Like, there's just a weird vibe about the whole thing. And there was something weird with his disease because when he starts freaking out, when he tears his suit and he just breathes and then he's fine again.
Yeah.
And like the redness in his skin goes away. I'm like, all right, something's going on here. But I didn't know that he was like the son of the devil.
So here was my trip through the movie. All right. So the first thing so he puts on the suit and I know he's not actually sick the minute he puts on the suit because the suit isn't hooked to anything.
Like, yeah, he's not breathing.
There are the two hoses, places in the back where you put the hoses to the breathing apparatus, and there's nothing there. And I'm like, okay, so he just thinks he's sick, and they're doing something to him. And then they get to the house, and I have that moment that I've had a bunch of times in the past year where I'm like, start the clock to when this place burns down.
But that's
whether it's a cure for... I know. But it's like, whether we're talking a cure for wellness or that movie about the art school for, you know, young girls, when you go to a mansion, it's getting burned down.
It's going to burn down at the end of the movie. Yeah.
It's just, besides.
Creepy old house, like, it's going to catch fire.
I'm
one
like,
way or the other, that thing is burning down.
And I'm like, okay, well, what can the significance of the creepy old house be? And I'm like, well, it can't be a clean room facility because it would be infinitely cheaper to build a clean room facility than it would be to retrofit a creepy old mansion. So I'm like, okay, either he's a vampire.
The only retrofitted part of the creepy old mansion.
That's true. But my moment was, I'm like, okay, so right off, I'm like, well, he seems to be having a bad reaction to outdoors, and they are keeping him out of sunlight. So I'm like, he is either a vampire who they're trying to cure from vampirism, or he's possessed or a demon or something, is what
they're
I thought.
Not keeping him out of sunlight. I never thought vampire.
That was
he's
my first
in the
thought.
Sun.
Well, no, because he's got the whole suit on whenever he goes outside.
No, but he's like, he sleeps in that bubble and sunlight is streaming through that window.
That's true. I didn't think vampire was the most likely solution, but I'm like, he's obviously possessed or a demon or something. And then the minute I knew I was right about him being a demon was when a red-haired girl comes up at the window to start talking to him. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, guess he's a demon. They went and they got themselves a red-haired girl. It's only one thing that can mean.
Yeah, I had no idea. Of course, like, you know, in retrospect, like, yeah.
It's all clear.
Of course he's a demon, but...
Well, and then one of the earlier dead kids was named Lucius.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, no, I thought that was nice. I thought that was really nice, actually.
But, I didn't know Sai was, like, along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's
And I enjoyed
it.
And I was... When he kills his dad, did not see that coming.
I know, right?
Whoa, gross.
I know. Exploding face. Yeah.
More of an imploding, actually. It's an imploding face.
Yeah, his face just kind of crushes.
Ugh, it's gross.
Yeah, it's very disgusting to look at.
Yeah.
But no, he's, oh, and the dad is played by the guy who I always think of as the poor man's Neil McDonough. But that only makes sense if you see him with blonde hair. When he has blonde hair half the time, and when you see him with blonde hair, you're like, oh my god, he looks exactly like Neil McDonough. But if you see him without blonde hair like he does in this movie...
Brown hair and a beard, he doesn't look anything like Neil McDonough.
Exactly, it's one of those things where only with the right the right hair does
he
look
uncannily similar.
He's
standing in the right light, and the camera's at the right angle.
It sounds crazy, but it's 100% true. But yeah, no, that was upsetting
concert,
to watch.
I'm like, oh, that guy looks like Andrew in Profile. It's like his like profile doppelganger.
That's a real thing, though. On Supergirl, there's this guy who plays Brainiac. If there are like 60% of the angles of his face, he looks exactly like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Weird.
But if you look at him front on, he doesn't look that much like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, like the guy at the concert.
It's exactly like the guy at the concert. But it's like, straight on? No, I don't see it. But you start moving angles, like, that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Weird.
Weird.
But yes, and this, the guy who plays the dad in this is good. And is the same
Okay, so I, for a long time, I had a hard time believing he was his real dad. So... Yeah. I caught on to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it pays off quite well. And it's like, and you got the mother who, has always been a weak person. Because strong people don't make deals with the devil.
I'm curious to know a little bit more about this experiment that Lily Taylor was performing, or her cure. Because because the mother is injecting him with holy water to try to suppress his... Demonism.
And Lily Taylor honestly seems to think she can keep half demons from getting their powers.
But I just like, but just we don't know what she's doing. And I'm like,
I wish we knew
a little bit more about that, because I'd be interested to know like what you could come up with.
The mechanics of this.
Of a cure for being a demon.
Being half demon. Yeah, again, just keeping your powers contained.
Like, you know, in Supernatural, they exorcise Crowley, where they make the attempt.
Yeah, but, you know, Crowley was a guy who made
and he
wasn't,
but he was
devil.
A guy once upon a time. That's like a pretty intense exorcism, but this guy's actually half demon, like.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can exorcise that, but you're right. Like, what exactly was she doing? They talk about a bit about the root and holy water and stuff like that. But we don't really get a sense of exactly what they're doing.
And it's interesting that they were able to convince him that he was allergic to the outside.
Yeah. Especially because, you know.
That's pretty messed up.
It is pretty messed up.
But why would you need to convince him he's allergic to the outside? If you're injecting him with holy water and that seems to be doing the trick, why couldn't you just be like, well, you need to take your medicine because you're sick and you don't have to go to such great lengths to keep your kid under control.
Well, I think the idea is also they wanted to keep him away from the corrupting influences of the world that would let his demonic side out faster.
But then you're raising a sheltered weirdo.
They are, but they're not raising a demon. He doesn't seem like a bad guy.
I feel like
right
a sheltered weirdo could easily turn into a demon.
That actually does happen a lot.
You know,
in real
especially
life.
If your dad is kind of distant and your mother's overprotective. Like, there's just...
Yeah, there's any number of ways this could go wrong, even without the literal genetic demonhood. The kid wasn't having a good life, whatever happened.
I'm just saying.
That's just a fact. But yeah, it's a really good ride. It looks great.
You know,
wonderful performances. I love that location. I joked about it earlier, but I really do love the location they built.
Mm-hmm. It's a good creepy scene with the ghosts in that room full of sheets.
I know. Oh, yep. That was so nice. You walk in and you're like, oh, it's kind of like the X Mansion. And then you're like, oh, that's not that far off, actually. There's lots of abusing kids going on in there. But what I really liked was how well paced the series of reveals were. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew something was going on early, but no, for the whole movie you really get this slow, careful meeting out of all of the reveals.
Yeah,
in a really clever way. Like, you know something's up and you get the pieces of it at just the right moment to keep you hooked in the story. And I love
that. The only issue with that is when the demon reveal comes, it like, not that it takes too long, but there's this moment where you're like, wait, hold on a second. And this happened to me at least. I was sort of taken out of the movie because I'm thinking about everything that's happened and what the parents have said to this kid in the past, or what we've been told they said they've said to him. And so it took too long to play catch up because there's a little disconnect there where they're like, well, we lied to you about you being sick and it's about your real father. But there's this like weird moment where the stories don't add up.
Oh, okay.
Even though they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
So there's like a little hiccup there that just like briefly took me out of the movie.
But I think it's all clear once you get the full story.
Oh, no. You're probably, right that it's not... all comes together, but there's just a moment where you're like, oh, okay, hold on, back up the bus.
Yeah.
Let's just hit pause and think this through.
No, I think you're right that whole reveal scene could have been written a little more elegantly.
Hmm.
But they do clearly, like, they clearly get all the information across, and it's
because the mother and the father, like, they have these oblique conversations with each other because they know what they're talking about, but the audience doesn't. Yep. But there's this moment where it turns out the father had lied to the mom about this, about Lily Taylor.
Yeah.
And then that just sort of, it starts this little snowball in your brain about what's real and what isn't and what's the truth.
Yep.
And so that's unhelpful.
No, absolutely.
For the audience. So you have a lot of lies that you have to reconcile to get to the truth of the matter. So
no, that's true.
A bit of a problem.
I mean, but again, it's a bit of a problem, but I mean, it's only a problem for, you know, how much attention are you paying? Because I think it all plays off well, and it's a really good, like, it's a really good window into their character that it's like, fundamentally, the dad understands that there is a worst case scenario where the worst is going to have to be done because you can't morally let this kid live. But mm-hmm. the mother's never going to be able to accept that because she is a person who was so desperate to have a kid that she was willing to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah, but I guess, and that's fine, but then when it comes time to, like, deal with that,
yeah,
she's a little too weak.
I see what you're saying.
And then at the end of the movie, she's getting bossed around by,
because fundamentally, and that's the
which
thing,
is fine.
Like, nice.
Yeah, she could be bossed around, but she could be a little bit more, like, she's complicit, so she can be a little
complicit.
Bit more bored with this instead of just sort of like wandering around like a bit of a zombie.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because it's like you kind of want the character.
But I'm driving the car. Yeah, lady, you're fucking driving the car. You kind of want
the character to either stand up for herself and for the right thing, or you want her to accept the choices she's made, but she just becomes completely passive at the end of the film.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing, because she never has to have a hard conversation or make a hard decision.
Mm-hmm.
Which is too bad, because, I mean, it's not, it doesn't break the film or anything, because this isn't her story, it's Eli's story, but if they had in that extra level of it to really dig into it, I would have been impressed more with the film, and this is a really good movie.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it would have kicked up to actually make the mother face up to what's going on, it would have given it that extra level that would have moved it past good to great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I just want to say, I really like this movie.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this movie, and I was surprised when the twist came, so, yeah.
And my experience was not universal at all. All right, so yeah, I am really glad I watched this second, and I pointedly watched this second, because I knew, All as Hallows Eve was going to be some kind of trash. Didn't expect it to be as terrible as it was, because I had heard it was an anthology film, and like I said, I thought I was only going to have to put up with one segment of Art the Clown. But no, three segments and the wraparound story. Screw you, Art the Clown.
We've been asked to participate in a live tweeting of All Hallows Eve 2.
Oh no.
And I've already agreed to it. So
oh wow, I'm so glad you told me about that now. Live during the show. Oh, okay. All right. One of my tweets is going to be, I'm turning off the movie now. Just FYI, that's definitely happening. And it's not going to be at the end of the movie. All right, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, let's do this. That has been the show. Check out Eli. I am glad I watched his second, because it's a really good movie. And I was very happy that it cleansed my palate after that.
Good. Yeah. So just don't bother with All Hallows Eve. Just watch Eli, honestly.
All Hallows Eve 2.
Yep.
All right. So I guess that's that. Do you have any narcissism you'd like to watch?
No.
I like that you had to think about it. There you go. For me, as usual, constant flood of new content over at the Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel. Check out Vargelon.com for all your Criminal Mindsing needs. And of course, you can find Profiling Criminal Minds, the Criminal Minds the internet's only Criminal Minds podcast.
So hard to believe.
It's crazy, right?
There are others. Maybe they're just not on anymore.
No, there have been others, but they only did a couple of episodes and then they quit.
Because it wasn't worth it.
Yes. I don't want to judge these people, but it's like, there's so much worth talking about in this show. But anyway, so yeah, the only Criminal Minds available on all podcast clients and as part of the Kinks podcast network. So check that out. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
Yeah, you can visit the AVOD's blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about how much you didn't like All Hallows Eve. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And if you're listening on an app, do rate and review, because quite frankly, we need the affirmation.
And we almost never get to do what's up next week in the AVOD, because we rarely know what we're going to do.
We do not plan ahead.
But we are finally going to watch
Hocus Pocus.
Many people's definitive Halloween movie, Hocus Pocus.
I know.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. You've it passed us by it. Somehow.
Somehow.
Actually, so I do know why. I'll get into it next week.
Oh, okay. Well, that should be good. Because I don't know why I never saw it. You'd think I would have. I love horror movies. That was my youth. But no, like, it just never happened. And we're going to watch the heck out of it next week. So what we're doing is, we're going to do one of our famous commentary for a movie we haven't seen.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. So.
No, we're going to queue up a copy of it, and we're going to watch it and comment on it live for the first time. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
So that'll be available on Halloween next week.
Halloween's next week. Oh, my God.
Did you not realize that?
I guess I did. I haven't made any plans. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you back here for that. But until then, I'd just like to say I've been Cam Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.